Did you know that LinkedIn is roughly on par with law firm websites and website bios for vetting law firms and attorneys? This is why it is vital that you have some sort of presence on LinkedIn, and why today we are talking about getting started on LinkedIn by creating an effective LinkedIn profile. Hey there, I'm Heather Mulder, a former big law partner who, after 18 years of private practice and a breast cancer battle, traded in my multi-million dollar practice to help lawyers like you build your ideal legal practice around the whole life you want to live. Because you shouldn't have to choose between professional success and personal happiness. And the good news is you don't have to. Join me each week for actionable strategies, real-world insight, and proven tools for developing the mindset, leadership, and business skills you need to succeed in both law and life. This is the Life and Law Podcast. Hello, hello, everybody. This is Heather Mulder, your host of the Life and Law Podcast. And today we are talking getting started on LinkedIn. Now, you probably utilize LinkedIn at least to some capacity. If you don't, hopefully today I can convince you otherwise. But even if you are, I want to ensure that you have an effective LinkedIn profile because most of your clients are probably on LinkedIn. They have a profile, they check it out, they utilize it, if not every day, at least a couple of times per week. And even if they are like you, because most lawyers, let's be honest, are rarely on LinkedIn, and when they are, they're just lurkers, prospective clients, i.e. in-house counsel, those in the C-suite, are likely to go check you out on LinkedIn when they are vetting you and considering hiring you and your firm. Now, I'd like you to go do something for me. When you're at your computer next and you open up Google, I want you to Google your name and notice what comes up top. LinkedIn has SEO power, y'all. Your profile is likely to be one of the top few spots when you do a search on your name. So even if your clients aren't on LinkedIn a lot, they're likely, when they vet you, going to go Google you, and then they will see that and they will end up on LinkedIn to check you out, which is why it is imperative when we're getting started on LinkedIn and when we're talking about getting started on LinkedIn, that you get started with your LinkedIn profile. You want your profile to showcase who you are, what you do very clearly so that they do not get confused. You want it to showcase a little bit about what you care about, why you do what you do, what you're most passionate about when it comes to the work that you do. Your clients do actually care about those things. They want to ensure that A, you're credible, and B, you're likable, that they actually can feel some affinity towards you. So that is the point for maximizing your LinkedIn profile. Okay, so let's get started. And this is going to sound super simple, but it amazes me when I go and look at a lot of lawyer profiles, when I'm looking at lawyers out there and connecting with people, how old their pictures are. You need to take a look at your LinkedIn picture and make sure it's up to date and not like 20 plus years ago or even 10 or more years ago. Of course, you want it to be professional, but you also need it to be representative of who you are now, what you look like now, because there's something jarring about seeing a picture of somebody and then meeting them in person and it not syncing up at all, okay? So make sure that you have a nice professional profile picture on your LinkedIn profile that is relatively current. So within the last 5 to 6 years, assuming no major changes have occurred since then. And if they have, then you're going to want to get one updated pretty soon. Most law firms do these pictures every like 5 or so years. So make sure you are there to do that and that you update your profile picture every time that a new one is taken. Now, if you're in a smaller firm or you're on your own, It is important to do this, and it doesn't cost that much money to get a headshot. So I highly recommend you go and get a professional headshot taken. You're probably going to want some headshots for your website anyway. You can use the same ones. That is totally okay. Just make sure it is professional. It shows your face, and I actually recommend smiling. There's some psychology behind that, y'all. So you're going to want to make sure you're smiling. You don't want to look odd or overly happy. You want to look like somebody that if a stranger walked up to you, they'd actually want to say hello and maybe have a conversation with you. So number one, start with that profile pic and make sure it is current, up to date, and professional. Number two, when it comes to ensuring that you have maximized your LinkedIn profile. Now, this may sound strange, and it probably will for many of you because most attorneys don't do this at all. And I have to say, I didn't do this when I was in a law firm. I did not update this until I started my own company and started working for myself. I want you to ensure that you have uploaded a cover photo that showcases what you want it to showcase, right? So your cover photo on LinkedIn is that banner that's kind of above or with your headshot. So you have that headshot and then behind it and a little above it and to the side is that cover photo. And most people either put nothing in there or put something very generic in there. I actually recommend, like, you can put something generic that's very professional looking in there, but I recommend putting something that's really more on brand for you. Okay. So you've got a couple of options there. You can do one that's more branded to your firm. So if you're at a very big firm and they have a preference, you may want to check that out and find out. You can put something there that's more branded to your firm. However, I don't recommend that unless that's required. I recommend that you include something that's really more personal to what you want to showcase for those who are checking you out, for those who see you on LinkedIn. And it can be a number of things, right? It can be very personal, right? What is, what are the things you are most passionate about? What do you care most about? I've seen some really great ones that relate to charitable work that people do, or that relate to, you know, some of the professional associations that they're really active in that do some work in the industry that they're in. It is going to come somewhat depend on who you are, what your practice is, and what you want to showcase to potential clients when they see your profile. But it is possible, if you want to have a photo that showcases, you know, what it is you do. I have a client who is very active in a lot of organizations, and she's very big on women in the law. And she has a photo up there that really showcases some of the work she does in a female legal organization that's very important to her. She also happens to write about these types of things upon occasion in LinkedIn articles. So it's obvious, it's very on brand for her. It makes sense. She likes to have that up there because she likes to showcase that about herself. It is important to her. It is totally okay to have something like that, because it showcases to clients kind of who you are and how you show up and what's important to you. And, you know, if this is something that you're active in and it's something that you do and it's something that you talk about regularly anyway, there's nothing wrong with putting it out there. So do not be afraid to go a little personal, professional, speak personal, but still a little bit more personal. Another way to do it is to have what's considered like authority, right? Something that's authority related so that it showcases who you work for, maybe the places you've written for, where you've spoken. If you're trying to really establish and showcase your expertise, maybe you have something up there that relates to that. So it could be very focused on, you know, not just what you do, but what you do on behalf of your clients. So it needs to be relevant to the work you do for clients when you do this, but it showcases your credibility, your authority. And then the other one is really just a banner that showcases what you do. So it's kind of an extension of your headline that we're going to talk about next. But, you know, let's say you're a employment attorney, and you primarily represent employees. You're not from the employer side, you're from the employees, and you primarily represent them in specific types of cases, right, of issues. So you could make that very clear in your banner with whatever you put up there. And if you're not quite sure how to do these things, A, if you have a marketing department, they can probably do it for you and you can tell them what you want and they can create it for you. B, you could also use something like Canva. And if you are not familiar with Canva, it's really easy to use and they have templates that you can get started with. So I will put a link to Canva. There is a free version. You can go on and do something like this very, very easily if you want to go and do something like this. So I will also put in the show notes a couple of examples of what I'm talking about of, you know, showcasing your authority versus speaking directly to a client. It's more client-focused language versus like a personal brand type of a banner so that you can see what the differences really look like. So I'll put some links in the show notes that will take you to some people on LinkedIn with those types of banners so that you can see, and then a link to Canva so that you can create your own if you would like to as well. Just remember that these cover photos, these banners that you're creating, the whole point is to showcase what do you believe in? What do you stand for? And even show off a little bit of your personality. Don't be afraid to do that. This is branding, right? Don't be afraid to do that because you do that every single day in your daily interactions with your clients. So why be afraid to showcase this before they even hire you? Why not let them in on a little bit of what you do, what your expertise is, what your secret sauce might be, right, within your work? It's somewhat dependent, again, on your own personality and what you want to really showcase there, but don't be afraid to do this. And don't just go with the bland, standard, you know, blue professional background that says nothing about you, what you do, who you help, how you help them, why what you do matters to you, all right? Okay, so let's move on to the next one, and that gets us into your headline. So your headline is primarily used by most attorneys as a job title. I usually see it like partner at whatever firm or, you know, senior counsel at or labor and employment lawyer, and that's it. You want to go beyond this. You have 120 characters. I highly recommend you use as many of those as you need to get across to people what you do and who you do it for. You want to be very clear. And just note that SEO is currently pretty important in LinkedIn, and you can search on LinkedIn. So what would people who are looking for you search for? Intellectual property lawyer, labor and employment lawyer, M&A lawyer, complex commercial litigator, complex commercial litigation lawyer, kind of depends. I do not typically recommend putting in partner, shareholder, senior counsel, that kind of stuff in your headline. And here's why. Because in your experience sections later below, you're going to have that stuff in there and people are going to be able to see it. I wouldn't waste this space on that personally. Instead, I would be sure to utilize these 120 characters, which by the way goes by fast, to make it clear what it is you do and who you do it for. Now, couple of notes here. Don't try to be cute and funny because often that confuses people and they're just going to glaze over and have no clue what it is you do and they're not going to go searching anymore, okay? Confusion stops people in their tracks in a bad way. It makes them tune out and you do not want that. So clear and concise language, plain language, language that people would actually use in real life, that is what you want to be using, okay? And you want to give a clear idea about what you specialize in, what your expertise is. So let me give you a couple of examples of what I'm talking about here. Labor and employment lawyer focusing on workplace safety and achieving fair compensation for workers. real estate attorney focusing on landlord and tenant disputes and property management cases. Corporate finance lawyer representing non-bank lenders and asset-based lending transactions. Corporate lawyer focused on securities fraud and insider trading. Patent attorney focusing on patent prosecution. Family law lawyer helping high-profile clients with their divorces. Criminal defense lawyer focusing on white-collar crimes. You see how these are very specific, right? So you want to tell them, what kind of lawyer am I? What's the general area? And then you want to get a little more specific into, like, who do you help and what do you help them with? Now, please note, do not cover every single thing you possibly could do. You need to focus in on your primary. So let's say 60% of your practice is one thing and 40% is another, or 60-20-20. And you don't have enough words to explain all of it. We'll pick your top two, right? Get very clear. Be very concise. You only have so much space. But you want to just tell people very clearly, who do you help and how do you help them? Now, a note here. Be very careful when in your headline not to use language such as specializing or specialist. In a lot of jurisdictions, we attorneys are not allowed to label ourselves as specialists, right? And there are protocols for becoming specialized within certain areas of the law. And there are advertising rules around all of this. This includes LinkedIn and other social sites. So you do not want to say you are a specialist. You want to steer clear of that kind of a language unless you actually have that specialization. So be very careful about that. Another note is this can come up on recommendations. Sometimes people will recommend you without you ever asking. So you want to review that and you want to be careful about what it is they say and how they say it, just in case some of what they're saying goes awry of the ethics and advertising rules in your jurisdiction. So this is a heads up when writing your headline. Don't try to steer clear of that type of a language. That's why I said focusing on, you could say including, right? Helping, that kind of a thing. Just make sure you understand the laws in your jurisdiction and you abide by them when it comes to specializations and how you set forth your particular expertise. Okay, the next thing is your about or your summary. People call it different things. If currently, when you look at LinkedIn, it's the about section. And you also have a limited amount of space here, but it's a lot more space than you have in your headline. So something to note here, your about section should not be just a regurgitation of your bio that is on your firm website. You are wasting valuable space here if that's what you're doing. To me, it's more like an about section on somebody's website, like an individual's website, say mine. It's to share a little bit about you. It's to share a little bit about your story, your why behind what you do. And you do it in a way that's more relatable to your perfect fit client. So it's part branding, part showcasing who you are and your why, but in a way that connects with them and makes this story a little bit more about them because they see that you're their perfect fit. They understand you a little bit better, okay? So this isn't just about showcasing credibility. This is also really meant to get some relatability in there, to start creating that like. We always talk about know, like, trust, right? When in any marketing piece, you want people to know who you are, what you do, how you help people. You also want them to like you, like as a human being. People do business with those they actually like. And you want them to trust you. Well, your about section is going beyond the no. It's establishing some like and some trust there too by sharing a little bit more about you and what you care about and why you do what you do and how you help people. So think of that when you're trying to come up with your summary or your about section. This is a chance to inject some of your personality, okay? To inject the thing that is your secret sauce and why people hire you, what attracts the right fit clients to you. You want to be sure to write this section in first person, okay? Write it as a human being. Write it as you. Write it as first person. And then make sure you're using keywords again. Keywords are key. So if you're an intellectual property lawyer, make sure you're using the terms that matter, right? If you're an M&A lawyer, if you're a commercial litigator, you know, what are the terms? What's the terminology that somebody would be looking up? You want to include some of that in this section. So when sitting down and trying to figure out what to include in your about section, I want you to first consider this is your first chance to make an actual connection, right? Marketing is somewhat about making that connection with that right fit client. So sharing a little bit about you and your why and what's behind what you do and why you do what you do can be really important here. This is where storytelling can come into play. Now, note, I've talked about storytelling before, so I recommend you go back and listen to that if you haven't listened to it. When sharing stories, we're not talking about getting all into the weeds and the details. You can share a story pretty easily and quickly in a sentence, two or three, okay? It's little slices like that go behind the why. Why is it that you are here? So I had a client who she started her own law firm, and she had left. She had worked for the government, for the state government, for many, many years, and saw the inner workings, and it really frustrated her. And she felt like, you know, this is getting too frustrating. I'm going to go out on my own, and I'm going to help people on, you know, make sure they get what they're supposed to get out of what the state is supposed to do, and kind of be a complementary kind of focus there. And so she shared a little bit of that. You know, I worked on the inside. I got frustrated with the following. This is why I'm here. I'm here to help you. And it only was a couple of sentences, but it was very powerful because A, it was authentic and real. And B, it really showcased her mission, which showed her brand, showed her why, but really connected with the right kind of client. So it doesn't have to be like this big, huge story, but it can be very simple. It can be, you know, what is it? What is your why? So get a little more clear around that and see if there's a way for you to include that in your about section. This is something I work with my clients on, and it is something that it really is specific to each individual. Just don't be afraid to share it, okay? So when trying to think about what story you really want to share, if you're going to share a story, and how to go about your about section, start with your why. Like, why did you become a lawyer in the first place? What attracted you to your specific area? And if you weren't initially attracted to it and you just kind of ended up in it, what's kept you there? What has helped you be a better lawyer? Traits, strengths, characteristics, including the things that have surprised you. What are those things that kind of make you the lawyer you are? What do people go to you for? What do they say you're really good at and why? So one of my strengths has always been solving complex problems very quickly. So it's what makes me a good coach. It's also what made me good at what I did as a lawyer. And so if I were writing something about that, I would probably go that track, right? If I were practicing law, I was a corporate finance lawyer, I'd probably start with why everybody always reaches out to me and how that has really helped me to not just be a legal counsel to my clients, but a business advisor as well, because that's what I did. I can kind of come into a situation where everybody thinks it's the most complex thing in the universe, ask a couple of questions and go, oh, well, when you saw it A all the way through Z, I see A, B, C, D, right? And there's two options. And here's option A and here's option B. Well, I'd go with option B for the following. because I think it'll get you there quicker. And I think there's less risk. And I also think it fits your business. So how would I would start there and find a way, how do I tell a story around this that showcases my abilities and connects more fully with the kind of client who wants somebody like that? Because guess what? Not everybody does. And then go into, so it's a very short story, can be a couple of sentences. And then you want to go into a little more in depth the types of work that you really do for your clients. This is where you kind of list it out. I help who with the following. And the who may be more than one, right? So I help X with ABC. I help Y with EFG. Give them an indication of what you really do and how you really help people. Showcase the strengths that you bring to the table. This is your chance. All right, final thing, and that is to make sure you've created your own unique URL at LinkedIn. So if you haven't done this, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. Go check out your profile on LinkedIn and look up at the URL. And you're going to notice that, you know, there's this LinkedIn.com with IN and slash, and then usually there's your name, and there's a bunch of numbers and letters. So it might be Heather Mulder, 8675309ABC. You want it to be Heather Mulder. And if you're not sure how, I will find the instructions on how to do that and put that into the show notes as well. Okay, so there are other things you could do, but this is really your best starting point for getting started with LinkedIn and maximizing your LinkedIn profile so that it works for you. If you want to know more ways in which to utilize LinkedIn, be on the lookout because I think there will be more episodes on this later this year. I am already thinking about it, and I might even have a workshop later this year. Okay, that is it for today. We will be back next week with another episode. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to the Life and Law Podcast. If you enjoyed this week's episode and aren't yet a follower or subscriber, be sure to hit the follow or subscribe buttons so you do not miss an episode. For show notes and free resources to help you succeed in both life and law, including the Legal Mindset Mastery Toolkit, visit lifeandlawpodcast.com.